We're going to talk about the life of God. We're going to talk about Zoe. We're going to talk about eternal life. And so I want to start in Genesis chapter number 1. So let's all look in Genesis chapter 2, Not Genesis 1. I did that first service too. Let's go. Maybe we should start at Genesis 1 and just go all the way through. But we'll go at Genesis chapter 2. Are you all awakened here this morning? Is everybody good? You ready to receive from heaven? I believe I have a message for you that will help you. It's very foundational, but it's about the life of God. It's about the Zoe life of God. It's about eternal life. It's not only about, so I want to help clear up some things for you, I believe. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. The King James says it this way. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so here we can go back into Genesis 1, where, you know, we can look at man, and God spoke everything else, but man, he formed him out of the dust of the ground. Now, I don't know where everything happened. I think sometimes we look at this, and we just always assume that Adam is dead. And lifeless, because it says, you know, he became a living soul. But I want you to think about it in this way. I want you to think about eternity. Everyone who comes to planet Earth, everyone who is conceived in the womb, has an eternity. Eternity is not determined when you're born again. Eternity happens when you become a soul. When conception in the womb, that's when eternity. How many of you know it's either heaven or hell? People live forever. I think people get the misunderstanding that when you get born again, that means you live forever. No, people live forever regardless. I know that's simple, but don't let it be too simple. In the mother's womb, when life happens, that's when eternity happens. And so people are going to live forever somewhere. And so I think sometimes when we get born again, or we think of someone dying or passing from this life, we say that's when eternal life begins. No, that's not when eternal life begins. Eternity happens for everybody. But then there's a difference in eternity and eternal life. I know this is simple, but don't let it be too simple. So everything that I see here in the Garden of Eden, I don't know if Adam was lifeless there, and it really is unimportant, except for knowing God like I do, I'm wondering if his heart was already beating, his brain was already working. Because then he said he did something on top of that. He breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. And he became a living soul. In other words, he at that moment received eternal life. Was he already in existence? I believe he was. I'm not creating a doctrine here. I'm just telling you that because of what I know that happened next. Because after, how many of you know, so he breathed the breath of life, the ruha, the breath of life into Adam's nostrils, and he became a living soul. In other words, that breath of life caused him to come to a higher standard, a higher place. Because how many of you know, whether they try to tell you this or not, you didn't come from an animal. You were not evolved. Because if that's the case, I wish men would evolve even higher right now. But they're not evolving fast enough for me. But that we didn't evolve. You know, a lot of people want to put us equal to the animals. I thank God for animals. We should never be cruel to one. But you are not an animal. The angels looked over heaven and he said, what is a man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you go down and visit him? You have created him a little lower than Elohim. Who is this created being? The angels were like, who's taking our place? I mean, we were in the next pecking order here. What happened? Where did this guy come from? Who is this Adam that you created him and then you've made him just a little bit lower than you? And why do you go talk to him? In other words, God had a place that he could conversate with a man on an equal base. The Bible says that he was created man. He created man in God's likeness and in God's image created he him. I mean, we were created at a place that we could fellowship with God. We were created like God that we could rule and reign. We were created like God that we could create. I'm telling you, God made man in a special place, and he gave him dominion, he gave him authority, and he gave him his life. Everybody say life. There's, see, this word life here is to bring a connotation of when he breathed in him, he elevated him. When he breathed in him, he breathed something of himself, his spirit, into man. And that's when man not only became living, like alive on this plane. See, others, it's, I want you to think it's more than that. It's way more than he just, his heart beated. His heart beated. Can it, his heart beated? I'm going to do something to get the rest of you with me. His heart beated. His brain thinked. I believe his brain thinked and beated and his heart beated already. Because there was something distinct about this life. It elevated this, not being alive elevated him. The life of God elevated him to the same place, to a little lower than Elohim. And this life was causing so many things to happen. But what do you know? You know that there was a serpent that came into the garden, right? I know you know this. But the serpent came in, and what did he do? He tempted Eve, and then Adam was deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam willfully just gave in. And then what happened? That's the point that the life of God left them. They didn't cease being alive. They lived a long time after. There was so much life in them. The residue of the life of God kept them a long time living on the earth. The life of God is so powerful, the residue of that life in their bodies kept them living for a long time. But they didn't cease to exist. They didn't die. They were separated. They lost the life of God. How do I know that? Well, we looked at this on Wednesday night. One of my favorite things in the Word of God is John chapter 20, verse 22. See, I teach a lot on the glory. I teach a lot on the Spirit of God. I teach a lot on these things, and it intrigues me. It excites me. But here we see in John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus walking into the room after his resurrection. So now he's all God. He's been raised from the dead. He's back in the room. He's standing in the midst of them. He walks in, you know, through the walls. He's God. And this is what happens in John chapter 20, verse number 22. It talks about how Jesus came into the room, and the Bible says he breathed on them. He did what? He breathed on them. Everybody say the breath of God. What is the breath of God? It's the life of God. The breath of God, the Holy Ghost, the life-giving Spirit. John chapter 20, verse 22, it says, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. What was it? He breathed on them. Why is that significant? Well, I don't know if that's the point they got born again, but the reason that Jesus had to say this is because the breath was gone out of mankind. Why is this important? Because the breath of God represents the life of God. The life of God puts you on a different level. The breath of God is the life of God. It puts you on a different level. If you do not have the life of God, if you do not have the breath of God, if you do not have the, if you don't have the revelation of this, you will live substandard. You will not live at the place God has ordained you to live. There's something about the life of God. There's something about the Zoe. John 10 and 10. You all know this. If you've come to Cornerstone maybe a couple weeks, you've heard this scripture because I say it all the time. It's the demarcation line that Jesus gave. John 10, 10 says the thief comes to do what? You all know it, right? Steal, kills, and destroys. Jesus said, but. In other words, he drew a line in the sand. But I have come. Are you grateful Jesus came? Are you grateful Jesus has been raised from the dead? He said, I've come that you might have life. That word life is Zoe. It means the God kind and quality of life. It's not just being alive. I know this is simple, but I want you to quit thinking it's being alive. It's not being alive. There's a lot of living people around you who are walking dead men. There's something different about the life of God when you understand the life of God and what it brings that will change the way you act. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change your very being upon the earth. Jesus said, I've come that you might have Zoe, the God kind and quality of life, and that you would have it even more abundantly. And I don't even want you just to think about life as in things. It's true that, but it's the life of God that brings healing. It's the life of God that brings possessions. It's the life of God that brings all the stuff. But there's something about the life of God. Jesus made a line. He said, the devil is trying to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. What's he trying to take from you? He's trying to take the life of God from you. He's trying to take the revelation of the life of God. There's something about the life of God that is changing. Let's look at John 3:15. John 3:15, it says that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? When does eternal life begin? Eternal life begins. See, you and I, people exist forever. They're going to exist forever. You're going to exist forever. If you receive Jesus and make him the Lord of your life, you'll exist forever in heaven. But if you reject him, then you'll exist forever in hell. There are not many ways to God. There's one. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father but through him. I don't want the world right now to make you afraid to be bold about that. Did I lose you? Why would we keep the truth from someone and be politically correct and let them spend eternity in hell? How mean is that? How cruel is that on our part? To know the answer, yeah, but everybody needs to figure it out themselves. Well, you and I can't even figure it out ourselves. Why would we let them figure it out themselves? You can't figure it out yourself. I can't figure it out myself. We needed him. We got to tell him. We got to tell him. Well, I don't want to be ridiculed. Well, it's been happening from the beginning of time. Amen. Whoever believes in him will not do what? But have went what? I think a lot of times we look at that perishing as just going to hell. But there are people perishing on the earth who do not have a revelation of their eternal life. Eternal life does not begin when you leave this body. Eternal life begins when you say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and I believe he was raised from the dead. That's when eternal life happens. And there's something about eternal life that's very powerful for the here and now. There's something about eternal life. There's something about the life of God, that Zoe, that's important right now. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to look at this in the New Living Translation, so I need it up. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11. The New Living. It says, and this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse 12. Whoever has the Son has life. Everybody say, I have the Son, therefore I have life. And it says, whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. It doesn't mean they don't exist. It means they don't have this life. And this life is not just for when we get to heaven. Verse 13. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. I just wanted you to see that Zoe, eternal life has been offered to you and that you have this by the new birth. And it's important that you and I know this, all right? So the Bible talks about how this Zoe is ours, but I want you to see it's not enough. It is enough to get born again so you can go to heaven, but if you don't have revelation of this life, then you won't walk in the fullness of it right now. Remember the prayer Jesus prayed. He says, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God doesn't have two wills. He just doesn't. He doesn't have a will for heaven and a will for the earth. He has one will. How many believe Jesus gets his prayers answered? The power is available for you and I to live as heaven on earth. Deuteronomy talks about days of heaven upon the earth. So I'm not having that, Pastor Mark. I'm not having that. As a matter of fact, you know, things are not that great. Well, I can tell you that if you'll begin to believe in this Zoe, God kind and quality of life, if you begin to believe in this eternal life that's for you right now, if you begin to tap into the life of God, it'll begin to change everything. Because I want to show you some things about what the life of God is. John chapter 20, verse 31. So again, we have to believe it. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So I'll say this to you, even after the new birth, there still has to be a believing in this eternal life. There still has to be a believing in the Zoe that's available. You and I still have to believe it. 1 Timothy 6 is where I want to get to real quick. 1 Timothy 6, 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. How many people I got fighting the good fight of faith in the room? What is it? How many know it's a good fight? What's a good fight? It's the one you win, right? But it's a good fight. What do we got to do? Everybody, see, look at that. Lay hold on eternal life. If I have to lay hold on something, somebody's trying to take it away. If I have to lay hold on, because see, well, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven. But it's more than just going to heaven. I've got to lay hold of something. Why do I got to lay hold of it? Because of John 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What is he most after? He's after, because Jesus contrasts it with this. But I've come that you might have life. Zoe, God kind of quality of life. Not being alive, it's God's life. What does God's life do? Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. But what do I got to do? I got to lay hold of it. I got to grab hold of it because somebody's trying to rip it out of my hands. I mean, you know, the thief is stealing. He's killing. He's trying to destroy. Have you figured that one out yet? I mean, you know, if it's stealing, killing, or destroying, it never comes from God. Right? I mean, I say this all the time. God doesn't believe in Halloween, not on Halloween, or any other time during the day. Because you and I have heard this saying before. Well, that was just a blessing in disguise. In other words, what people mean is something bad happened, God sent it so he could work something good. That is not what that scripture teaches. The truth of the matter is the devil is the one who steals, kills, and destroys. The devil is not on God's payroll. The thief is not on God's payroll. They're not working together. God does not have to send something bad to you so he can, you know, just ride in on the horse and then change it. No, but what happens is if the devil tries to do something, then what does the scripture say? That God will turn it around. He'll make all things work together for your good, for those who are called according to his purposes, right? So God will turn it around. But what's happening? The devil is the one stealing, killing, and destroying. Amen? But what are we supposed to do? Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold of it. Grab hold of it. Hold fast to it. Revelation talks about holding fast till I come. What do we got to hold on to it so tight for? Because you have an enemy. And that enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:1 talks about there's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I want to show you about this life. It's a law. The life of God I'm talking about, the Zoe, God kind of quality of life, is a law. And this law always works. Romans 8:2. This law always works. This law is at work in you that are born again. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there's a law at work. How many of you know laws always work? How many of you know the law of gravity always works? Do you have to pray that gravity works? It works. I always say this one. I don't understand the law of lift in an airplane. I don't need to. Somebody came and tried to explain it to me. I don't care. I don't know. I don't know. I don't. My mind doesn't work that way. I don't want to know. All right. All I care about is when I get on after I plead the blood of Jesus over the aircraft and I sit down. I just thank God and I know the law of lift is going to work. And while the law of lift is working, me and Father are talking usually. The law of lift is at work. I don't know how it works. It's a law. It works. And guess what? There is a law at work. And it's called the law of spirit of life. How do you get it? When you get born again, that law is now available for you. A lot of people don't realize there is a law, but it works. Thank God for the law of spirit and life in Christ Jesus. And it's done something. It's made you free from another law, the law of sin and death. So those who are not born again, the law of sin and death is at work in them. And those of us who are born again, there's a law called the law of spirit and life. And I will say this, if you can learn to tap into that law, if you understand that law is available, then you can take the benefits of that law. I don't understand necessarily how it works, but I get the benefits of the law of lift. I can go places that would take me years. And go to Nepal that used to would take years, but because somebody discovered and works with the law of lift, I can get there. It still is a long time. It's still a long time, but I can get there a little quicker. I'm telling you that there's a law at work in you, and it's the law of, thank God for the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But what does it do? It displaces. There's a displacing going on. When you cooperate more with the life of the spirit, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it pushes out the other law. The Bible says what about sin? The wages of sin is, what is that from? It's from a law. I mean, you know, you don't have to pray for someone that's in sin. You say, well, look, I just pray, Lord, that law works so it'll teach them. You don't have to pray that the law works. The wages of sin is death because it's a law. But you and I don't have to live in that law anymore. Our law will replace that law. There's a law of the spirit of life. There's something about the life I really want to get to you today. I want you to see the life of God is not just existence. The life of God is a power. The life of God is a way. Jesus said, I've come to give you Zoe, God's kind and quality of life. It's a different level of existence. It's a higher place. Adam was laying there, and in order for him to come up a level, God breathed in him the breath of life. It wasn't just existence. God could have made him exist without this breath. What this breath of life did, it came in him, and it changed him, and it brought him to a whole new level. The devil has always been after the life of God. The devil has always been after the life of God. When he got it out of Adam and Eve, he thought he had it forever. And when he crucified, he thought he had Jesus. He thought his life was over, and therefore him who was God, there was no more life of God available for mankind. But what he didn't know, because the Bible said if he had have known, he would never have crucified the Lord of glory. And what happened, the very life of God went into the bowels of hell and raised Jesus up from the dead. And now the life of God is available again, and he breathes on them once again and says, receive the Holy Ghost or receive the life of God. And now what God wants for us and for you, because Jesus said, he's like, don't let the devil steal, kill, or destroy, or take my life from you anymore. Understand, I've come and I've given you this Zoe, God kind and quality of life, so that you can live. Amen. That's how you reign in this life, by one Jesus Christ. It's supposed to be different now. It's supposed to be different now. Because there's a law at work in you. And what do we got to do? We got to lay hold of eternal life. We got to lay hold of it. Let's look at John chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 57 and 58 out of the Amplified. So here, Jesus has said, I am the bread of life. Everybody say, Jesus is the bread of life. You know, I like our Jesus is t-shirts. I still see them hanging out every once in a while. But Jesus is, he declares he is something. And he says here, I am the bread of life. And so this is what he said, just as the living Father sent me, and I live by through because of the Father, even so whoever continues to feed on me, whoever takes me for his food and is nourished by me, shall in turn live through and because of me. I want you to not think of existence here. It's not talking about existence. He's talking about the life of God, which caused, you know, Adam to be just a little lower than Elohim. He's talking about the life of God, which is in us now. And that we work by this, the law of life in Christ Jesus. He said, so we can have this life through and because of him. Verse 58. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It's not like that manna, which your forefathers ate and yet died. He who takes this bread for food shall live forever. Listen, what he's talking about is a different existence. He's not talking about you exist, because you're going to live forever somewhere anyway. It's above that. I wish I could get this to you. It's above that. It's talking about a level of living in God that is so available to you. It's his life. And the Bible talks about, let's look at this. Let's go backwards. Let's go to John chapter 1. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 4. John chapter 1, we'll go backwards. John chapter 1, verse 4. Let's look at this one. John chapter 1, verse 4. It talks about Jesus said this. John 1, 4. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him, in him was what? In him, look, when you see that, it's not in him was alive. In him was existence. No, in him was, there's this particular thing that only God has. And he gave it to Adam, and Jesus gave it back to us. It's the life of God. In him was, you know, when I was first came in, one of our teachers at school a long time ago, she had this song. It's called, I've Got the Life of God in Me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got his life, his nature, and his ability. I've got the life of God in me. You know, it's went back in the charismatic days, and we all just clapped in a straight thing, and we sang all these choruses. I've got the life of God in me. And that song became such revelation to me. It's not, because see, it's not being alive. It's this power, this virtue, this existence that God always had in mind for mankind. He breathed in Adam and he got it. The devil took it away and God brought it back through Jesus and he breathed on us. And it's a law. It's the law of life and liberty in Christ Jesus. And it does some things. And when this light, and in here it says, in him was life. In him was what kind of life? Zoe, the God kind and quality of life. And the life was the light of men. And so there's this life that's in him that's available to us, and we need to learn how to cooperate and work with it. What will it do? What will it do? Well, how many of you are born again? And so are you? You know this for a fact, that Jesus became sin. He who knew no sin became sin so that you could become what? Righteous. Are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Are you? And so that righteousness, with that, there's life that's been available. But before that, you and I, before we were born again, we could not operate in this life. And I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 2. We'll start with verses 1. Ephesians 2, 1. He says, and you hath he quickened. We'll come back to that in a minute. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were alive then. You were in existence then. But because you had not received Jesus as Savior, you've not made him the Lord of your life, you were what? You were dead. What caused you to be dead? The trespasses and sins. In other words, you've never accepted Jesus as Savior. You've never made him the Lord of your life. All right, verse number 2. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. When you and I were not born again, whether we like to admit it or not, we were controlled by the prince of the power of the air. Jesus said, the word of God says this about him in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, that Satan is the god of this world. It says, so in times past, that's how we walked. We walked in accordance, you know, according to the course of this world. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So this is my point a lot of times, is everybody, especially in the United States right now, the church, they're all frustrated with the way things are going, but I don't believe you can legislate morality. You and I couldn't be legislated. I mean, I'm grateful for laws, and I believe everybody ought to obey them. But as morality decays, the laws will change. And that's sad. But, you know, we can get mad and throw a little hissy fit and pout, or we can get people born again. The only way to change the world, to change anything anywhere, is by people getting born again. Because when someone's not born again, who do they belong to? The prince of the power of the air. What's working in them? The spirit of disobedience. How do you change that? Well, the only way I could be changed and you could be changed is to get born again. And what happened when you got born again? Verse 3. It says, among whom we also had our conversation in times past. Aren't you glad it's times past? And we were in the lusts of our flesh, doing what? Fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So what has to happen? Well, we have to have a nature change. And that's what happened to Adam when God breathed in him the breath of life. Suddenly, he took on God's nature. He had the nature of God. What happens when you get born again? Your nature changes. Amen. And we need to learn to live out nature. Let's go back to verse 1. It says, it uses this word, and you he hath quickened. That word quickened is what? It means to make alive. And you he hath made alive. Not made alive physically made alive spiritually with the life of God. The more we understand the life of God, the more we understand the nature of God, and the more you and I learn to cooperate with that life and that nature, the more we change. Have you been quickened? Have you been made alive? Are you quickened? Are you made alive? I'm alive unto God. I don't just exist unto God. I'm alive unto God. In other words, because I'm born again, because I'm a child of God, I'm at a different level. Doesn't make me better than anybody else. It just makes me different. Because I'm born again. Are you born again? Are you a child of God? The life of God's at work on the inside of you. In times past, we had a different nature. And so you have to understand your nature. What am I talking about? The life of God got into your nature and it changed it. It didn't just fix it over. You got a whole new nature. What is your nature? It is the nature of God. That if you begin to understand that and begin to operate then out of your new nature, it'll change you. Back to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at verse 11. But all through that, it talks about then, you know, there's no condemnation. If you walk in the Spirit, it talks about walking the Spirit versus walking the flesh. But it says this, but the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. How many of you, the Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you? Does He dwell in you? Is greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world? Is the Spirit of God in you? Then what's in you? The life of God is in you. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall do what? What's that word quicken? It means to make alive. Make alive. What's it going to make alive? This. I tell people all this all the time, and I have as much trouble with it as you, is willpower is not going to fix anything in your flesh. Willpower is not going to fix anything in your flesh. Willpower can't heal anything in your flesh. Only God power. What is God power? The life of God. Is it available? It's available to everyone who is born again. Why? Because the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. What's dwelling in you? The life of God. What raised up Jesus from the dead? The life of God. What did He breathe into Adam? The life of God. What did Jesus breathe on the disciples? The life of God. Who is the Spirit of God? He's the life-giving Spirit. What is His Word? It is Spirit and it is life. It's not existence. Everybody's existing. But as a born-again believer, you and I ought not exist at a low level. We ought to exist at a very high level. Heaven, which is amazing, awesome. Are y'all going one day? Are you born again? You're going one day? We all think that's amazing. But that is created because of the life of God. And the life of God that's in heaven is still available here. Jesus prayed. He said, Father, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God doesn't have two wills. I just want to get that in you. What will change the will? What will change what's going on earth? It will change when you and I get a hold of the life of God. Understanding the devil is always after the life of God. Because if he can get the life of God from you, he can steal, kill, and destroy from you. But the life of God is a law of displacement. It's the law of liberty in Christ Jesus, which always displaces the law of sin and death. I know I started out simple, but now I'm getting deep on you. Amen. If you'll understand the law of life and liberty, and this life, this Zoe, is at work on the inside of you, it'll change your mind. It'll change because you've got that in your nature, but now you've got to be dominated by your new nature. And when you're dominated by your new nature, it'll push out from the lust of your flesh. You know, I wish when we all got born again that our flesh got born again. I wish your love. I was like, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, raised from the dead, and poof, something happened. It did happen on the inside, but it didn't happen on the outside. But now you've got something on the inside that'll change what's going on the outside. The Bible says it'll quicken you. It'll quicken you. This is what I found. The more I live in the Spirit, the less I have to deal with my flesh. The more I'm not living in the Spirit, the more I have to deal with my flesh. Amen. Why? Because the Spirit is life. In the Spirit is life. He's the life, it's the law of liberty and life in Christ Jesus. That's the Bible says, if you'll walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of your flesh. What is the Spirit? It's God's life. The Spirit of God, the Spirit realm, vibrates with the life of God, with the life and the light of God. And the more you obtain it, the more you get it, the more you walk in it, the easier you have to deal with your nasty attitude, my nasty attitude, my flesh, you know, no, don't want to honk the horn so much, all that kind of stuff. It just translates into everyday living. Amen? Thank God. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells on the inside of you. Thank God for the life-giving Spirit. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I just ask you to make it revelation to everybody in this room.